Ready for a stupid fact?
Let's do some learning.
All right, this is where we take random things we find on the internet, bring them to you as fact. I don't know if you've ever wondered this, but we have the answer for you, okay?
Okay.
This is a fact.
Because this is never good learning.
Have you ever wondered why a fart smells so bad?
No! No, all we just need to know is that it does. I don't think we need to know. I think we kind of get an idea as to why.
Well, right? It's the fermented bacteria that are present, which are later mixed with air.
Okay.
So it's fermented bacteria.
All right.
That is your answer. And that is your stupid fact of the day. You can wow your friends today.
All right.
When one of them drops some fermented air.
Well, and then I usually ask my kids, like, listen, do you have to poop?
Yeah,
like,
right?
That feels like that's an indication.
That's
something's going on.
Something's happening. Yeah, there's fermented bacteria happening in your bowels.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Great. Thanks so much, because we were all wondering that.
See, I knew it.
We were all like, geez, you know what? Why do farts smell so bad? I think
that's right.
We got an idea, because they come from your butt.
Well,
and we know what else comes out of there. So I think most of us put two and two together and just kind of figured. We got the idea, the basic idea.
Yeah, sure, sure. I just wanted to make sure that everyone knew.
Great. Yep. I really hope that everyone can just go share this knowledge with either their boss, their coworkers, their teachers, whatever.
Yeah, impress them.
And say, I learned that from Ben and Kelly.
There you go. That is your stupid fact of the day on 99.7 DJX. Playing a fun little game called Little Kid or Drunk Adult. Let's introduce you to Laura calling us from Shelbyville. Hi, Laura.
Hi.
So Laura's a nurse, has black hair, drives an F-150, is married. How long have you been married, by the way?
16 years.
Wow.
Awesome. What we're coming up on.
I was going to say.
This month, actually.
You and Kelly, both.
We were in June.
What has been the secret keeping it PG-13 or lower?
Communication.
Okay. Yes, communication. Absolutely, 100%.
But, you know, the other stuff.
Right,
also helps, too. The stuff you can't say.
I do have my 13-year-old in the car. So.
Okay, thank you. Oh, gosh. I've already made it so awkward.
Everybody knows how it works. That's good. That's good. Hey, by the way, do you want us to have the talk with him real quick?
No.
Wow. He did that last week at school.
Yeah, all right.
And he came home with lots of questions.
Listen, Laura, I just want to make sure that we're a full-service morning show, right?
Right.
All right, so little kid or drunk adult, Kelly, if you could please explain how this game works.
Okay, these are going to be stories. You have to figure out, did this story occur when this person was a little kid or a drunk adult?
All right.
I got it,
All right, here we go. First one.
I got in trouble for going in the back of McDonald's where they make all their food, and I started making my own version of the Big Mac.
Bold move.
That is a bold move.
I'm going to say that's a drunk adult.
All right.
Yeah, I think, you know what? I got special sauce. I'm going to add that. That's a drunk adult right there.
Sounds like a come-on line.
That's what they call it.
Yes, they do. All right, so you both say drunk adult.
Yeah.
Okay, so I was just a really hungry little kid.
Oh, no!
Wow.
Are you kidding me right now?
Wow. Bold move.
Who was watching that child?
Bold move indeed.
And apparently my babysitter just wasn't watching me. I basically just walked right into the back of a McDonald's and started grabbing whatever I could reach off the counter. Like, basically the restaurant manager ended up coming out and not only kicked out me, but my babysitter and my other little sister. Needless to say, my mom never had that babysitter watch us again after that.
All right, well.
Yeah. The little sister's like, don't kick me out. I didn't do it.
I know. Can I at least take my Happy Meal?
Oh my gosh.
All right, you're 0-for-1. Next one, Laura, little kid, drunk adult. Here we go.
I once took hot chicken noodle soup and poured it over my brother's head while he was sleeping.
Oh gosh.
I'm going to say little kid.
All right, little kid.
Yeah, I think so too.
All right, both of you saying little kid. Here we go.
I was a drunk adult.
Oh my God.
What is happening?
Wow. All right.
I had a drunk fight with my girlfriend, and she told me that she was sleeping with my brother, but it turned out that she was totally lying to me. So, my bad.
My bad.
Oh, okay. Good. Whoops. That the bro still had his back.
All right.
Girlfriend bad. Wow, that was... I wonder if the brother, like, forgave him.
Well, Laura, really, you're not very good at this game. Maybe you...
No, I'm not. I was better the other day. Yes.
I'm right there with her. Not good.
All right, let's at least try to get one right. All right, last one.
I dumped a whole bottle of baby powder into a box fan once and covered, like, 12 people that were coming out of the pool.
Oh, wow.
Little kid.
I think so, too. That's got to be
a little
kid. Right?
Has to be.
What does your 13-year-old think?
He wasn't even listening. I'm dropping him off this way. He didn't hear that.
You know, it's probably best. Probably best that he doesn't. All right.
He started doing that when you said, did he have the talk?
Right. Yeah. Right. All right. So you both say little kid. What is it?
Here's what happens. I was a little kid at summer camp.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, we got one.
And I thought it was going to be funny, and I actually got kicked out of summer camp because of that.
Well, let's not do that, all right? Well, congratulations. You are only 33% accurate, correct, but we'll give it to you anyways, all right, Laura?
Yay!
There you are. Congratulations! You're a winner! All right, well, Laura, hang on the line a quick sec. And by the way, if you ever need us to give any sorts of talks to any of your kids, just let us know, okay?
No,
all
right, do not let us know.
Make sure I try to not hit you up for that.
Thank you.
Just rip the Band-Aid off. All right, Laura, hang tight.
She knows not to come down for that. No.
All right, hang on. By the way, if you want to send us your... weird story, and whether or not you were a little kid or drunk at all, we'd love to hear it.
Yeah, we need to, pad the arsenal just a little bit with the stories. BenAndKellyShow@gmail.com.
Yep. Kelly, what is this setting the bar story?
It's an example of what not to do or a situation we hope you don't find yourself in.
Yeah,
a learning experience.
Yeah, for sure. Probably not a good idea to raise the heart rate of your elderly residents when you're a nursing home. I mean, I don't know. Maybe that is a good thing. You know, maybe get their blood going a little bit, you know?
Well, you do like to plan activities for them to keep them engaged, you know, and keep the, the mental juices flowing, right?
Ah, you said juices.
Oh, God.
If you can manage to make it through the day without hiring strippers for your elderly grandparents, you're doing okay.
Oh, my God.
Yep, that's the sound of a hired stripper to perform for senior citizens in wheelchairs.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Whoever is in charge of activities there
had the best of intentions, Kelly.
Oh, well, yeah.
Had the best of intentions. You know, it got put up on the internet as things like this do, and then they got a lot of flack from it. As, you know, this woman was doing really good at her job.
She was carrying out the typical protocol, we'll say.
Yeah.
Of a performance like that.
Right.
She was going through the protocol.
Wheel your chairs on into the cafeteria this afternoon.
Oh, Papa Gary, it's your lucky day.
It's your lucky day.
Oh, my God.
I won't accept dentures as a tip, but I will accept your dollar bills.
Oh, my God. I mean, did anybody get the looks on their faces? That's really what I want to see. Just a look on Papaw Gary's face.
Listen,
as rolling him in.
And if he's having a great time, what's the harm?
Well, again, the aforementioned potential heart attacks.
Yeah. And so really, the senior care facility said the intention of the event was to entertain residents and to make them happy.
I bet, check and check.
Okay.
It's the ladies that probably felt a little left out if they didn't have any.
Yeah, where's the guys?
Beefy man dancers.
Yeah, I was going to say, wearing the banana hammocks, rubbing up on Grandma.
Grandma Jeanette was probably thinking, well, hey, Grandpa Gary over there is having his fun. What about me?
What about me? Yeah, so anyways.
I've got dollars.
All right, we're throwing this in the setting the bar category. So if you can manage to make it through the day without hiring a bunch of strippers for your elderly patients when you're running a senior hair care center, then you're doing okay.
Listen, I've been to a nursing home for activity time before. It was not like that.
It was not like that at all.
At all.
Yeah.
Kentucky Anna is getting clowned. Here comes another Ben Davis phone tap on 99.7 DJX.
Yeah, you can blame Neil for this one.
All right.
He said, hey there, Ben and Kelly. I'm attaching some info about my wife, who I think would be a great person to call with a phone tap. What do you say?
Well, Holly works at a place that sells hot tubs, and that's good.
Yeah.
Because Robert Hassenpepper has a lot of questions about hot tubs.
Logistical questions.
Welcome to your phone tap.
Spas and hot tubs. This is Holly.
Hi, Holly. Robert Hassenpepper here. Got some hot tub related questions. I figured this is the place to call.
Well, I'd be happy to help you. Are you looking for a hot tub?
Well, I am, and I'm trying to get some general information, too.
Sure.
Okay. So what sizes do hot tubs come in?
Oh, well, generally, I like to group them by small, medium, and large, depending on how many people can fit in them. Mm-hmm. The small ones fit like 2 to 4 people. Okay. Then it goes all the way up to the big ones that fit 7 to 8 people or even more.
All right. Well, how much liquid would you say is in a small one?
How much water? Oh, you're looking at 200 to 300 gallons for a unit like that. Do you have any idea how many people you want to have in your hot tub?
Well, this is going to sound a little unusual, but I don't want any people in my hot tub.
All right.
Yeah, I'm looking to get a hot tub that I can use for cooking.
For cooking?
Right, right. I was staying at a hotel, you see, and sitting in their hot tub, and it's hot and steaming and big, and all I could think of was, man, I could make one hell of a soup in this thing.
You want to make soup in a hot tub? 200 or 300 gallons of soup?
That's right. I think it's genius. I love to cook, you see, and I love cooking for large groups. So what if I could use a hot tub to make a huge pot of soup?
That, I don't think you can do that.
Well, listen, I know what you're thinking, that I'm going to get in the soup and stir it with my body, my naked body. But that's not the case. I wouldn't even have to stir it. The jets in the hot tub would move it around.
Wow, so you've really given this some thought.
Oh, yeah, it's all I've thought about since I stayed at that hotel.
Well, I mean, of course, I'd love to sell you a hot tub, but I really don't think this is going to work for you.
Well, what's the problem?
Well, first of all, soup is going to clog up the filters.
Yeah. Oh, wow, really?
Yeah, the filter is there to strain out the stuff you don't want in your tub, and most people wouldn't want carrots and stuff floating around in there.
Oh, okay, good to know.
I honestly, I'm sorry, I can't believe I'm having a conversation about this.
No, this is great, very helpful. Okay, well, what if I only use the hot tub to cook, like, broth or a bisque or thin soup or something like that?
Sir, I want to be helpful, but I don't know if I'm the right person to talk to. I should get back to work here.
Oh, well, what about this? What if I used it as a washing machine? What about washing clothes? You know, throwing some detergent in your dirty clothes and let the jets move them all around?
No, are you serious?
I'm actually not, Holly. It's actually Ben Davis from the Ben Davis and Kelly K Show. Say hi, Kelly.
Hello.
You're on 99.70JX. It's a little thing called phone tap.
Hello. Okay. What?
Yeah, Neil wanted us to mess with you, so here we are. Hello.
Oh, my God. Well, you sure did. That was. I didn't know what was happening. Thanks a lot. Oh, wow.
here's where her mind went. Uh-huh. Me, naked, stirring soup in a hot tub.
See, she was already forming a mental picture of what she thought you looked like. Naked dude, swirling around in a hot tub. Yeah, stirring soup.
That's all I was doing.
A nice little bisque.
I can't get it too hot, though, because it'll burn my bits. While I'm stirring that soup.
Oh my
with my own stir stick.
Oh, I don't think anybody needs to taste your bit soup. I don't
think. If I was a soup, what would I taste like?
No, chunky potato. No, I don't think that's not what we do.
Chunky potato? Is it because? No. Is it because I'm getting more of a dad bod?
No, you would straight up be tomato, because you know red hair.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, red you'd hair. Be tomato. You'd be a tomato bisque.
I would think you'd be more of a split pea soup.
Split pea?
Mm-hmm.
What about me says split pea soup to you, sir? I don't think that's a compliment. I'm not sure. I really don't know how any soup could be a compliment.
Right, that's your phone tap.
Okay.
On 99.7 DJX.
Anyone listening have a current smell in their car that's, you know, not new car scent or air freshener scent? One of those smells that, and it's always worse when you get into someone's car, because a lot of times you are unaware of the smells in your own car because you get used to it, right?
Sure.
But then you get in someone else's car and you're like, ooh. I had a friend when I was little. His name was Brent. He was one of my best friends. And growing up in grade school, he lived a couple blocks away. He was one of the friends who was with me when I went number two in the alley.
Oh, my God.
Remember I told that story?
Uh-huh.
Anyways, so Brent, his mom would drive us to places like the movie or to McDonald's or whatever. And so they had one of those station wagons that the rear-facing seats.
Yeah, we had one.
Yeah, with the wood paneling.
It was a Pontiac. Didn't have the wood paneling, but it was a brown Pontiac.
Yeah, rear-facing seats. And so we would always sit in the rear-facing seat, right?
Uh-huh.
Well, his mom drove absolutely bonkers crazy.
And that made it more fun, didn't it?
Well, and this car didn't have air conditioning.
Yeah.
And they had dogs. And so the car smelled like dogs. It was hot. I was facing the wrong way. I would get car sick. And I would barf almost every single time I would get in their car. So their car.
Oh, gosh. Did they have a bag for you, knowing that was probably going to happen? Like a bed barf bag?
Well, no. So.
Oh, no.
So then it became one of those things where I would get in the car and it would smell like dog. It would smell like hot dog and my old puke.
Oh, gosh.
So then it would make me want to go even more, you know?
And
if it was like a quick trip, like a 5-minute trip, I could handle it, you know? But near the end, my tummy would be like going, oh, buddy. But if it was one of those where it's like, hey, let's go to the zoo. I'll take you guys to the zoo, which was great. It was great. Brent and I would go to the zoo, you know, but the zoo was like 30 minutes away.
Oh, gosh.
And so.
Oh, gosh.
It was like just you know, you get the sweat on your brow and all that. So anyways, I bring all this up to think that I may have a smell in my car when I go out later on today.
Oh, I guarantee you you're gonna. I guarantee you.
I spilled my coffee cup full of cereal, which included milk, in the passenger seat of my car.
Yeah.
And I got up as much as I could, but there was some that seeped through and it caught on the carpet that's underneath that catches everything. So I couldn't like take it off and clean it.
No, you couldn't. And you're going to have to get like a little shampooer or a carpet cleaner or something. Oh, gosh.
I don't know. Does anybody have any, like, experience in cleaning that little catch-all? And if you, like me, are listening to this going, wait, there's a flap that catches the debris that goes between the seats? I was today years old when I found out that, too.
Yep. When you stick your hand in there and you're like, ow.
Oh, there's a, my hand's not going all the way through. And and there's change and crumbs and various receipts that have just fallen through.
And now milk and cereal.
And now milk.
Yeah.
Kelly from Crescent Hill texted in and said, my car smells mostly of dead hopes and dreams. Oh, well. There's that, too. Oh, my gosh. Terry says, yes, I have a foul odor in my work truck. Left my work boots and sweaty socks in it all weekend and the windows rolled up. See, this is my fear is that now it's an overcast day, which is good because my car is going to be sitting out baking in that parking lot.
Yeah, it's when it gets baked in, it's really bad. It's really bad. It takes it to the next level, kind of.
I'm going to have to tell my wife at some point, too.
Ooh.
Hey, by the way, if you happen to smell something, this is what happened.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so anyways, if hopefully your Monday is starting off a little bit better than mine has, but yeah, the whole completely spilling milk in my car.
Yeah.
And I just know what it's going to smell like.
It's
going to
smell rancid.
Yeah.
Oh.
I do remember spilling chili in my car one time. Like it was in a crock pot.
Oh!
And I had the crock pot sitting on the floor of the car. And I thought, okay, well, this is a safe spot for it. And I didn't bother, like, to put any sort of, like, cardboard or anything underneath it. I just put it square on the floor.
Did it have a locking lid on it?
Nope,
or just, no,
it didn't.
And
I stopped quickly.
Oh,
and it
gosh.
Just went floomp. And I swear, this was the Jetta. That Jetta smelled like, it smelled like old chili for the longest time.
Oh, that
and
it was a horrific smell. Oh, that's a horrific smell.
Oh, Asia said, I brought a crab boil in my passenger seat and a bunch of the juice spilled. And so you can imagine what that smells like.
Oh gosh. Oh.
No.
Yeah. Oh, Brittany,
no.
Dog throw up. Yeah, cleaned it, but stunk for a week. Get it? Yeah.
No.
Oh, gosh.
Like, seriously, our dog Dougal, my dog Dougal had a lot of issues being in the car when he was just a puppy.
Yeah.
He's slowly growing out of that, thank goodness, but he would barf every time.
Let's see. Piper hates it. She just screams the whole time. She doesn't barf or really pee. She did pee on me once.
All right. There
you go. Then Poppy's looking at her like, seriously? Chill out.
Chill out, dog. Chill out.
And I'm all like, be more like your sister.
Right.
When you need advice, come to Ben and Kelly. It's group therapy on 99.7 DJX.
So Melissa reached out. She said, hey, Ben and Kelly, my very best friend and I have been friends for quite some time.
All right.
We do a lot for each other. We talk. We text daily. That's great, right?
Right.
Here's a twist. I'm in love with him.
Okay.
And he feels the same way about me.
That sounds perfect.
No big deal, huh?
Nope.
Wrong. I'm married. And he is with another one, not married. My friend and I have never taken our friendship any further than friendship.
Mm-hmm.
So no, there's no actual infidelity unless you count our feelings for each other as such. Or the fact that he says, let's just do this. I just don't know what to do. I love my husband, but I'm getting to where when I picture my future, it includes my friend, not my husband.
Mm.
I just don't know what to do, though, or how to go about doing that. So help.
Yeah, so there is a thing called emotional infidelity. And I think that's
happening right now, yeah.
Where your relationship is, yeah, for sure. I don't see anything real. I mean, gosh, like I can't talk out of both sides of my mouth.
That is true.
Because I was best friends with my wife. I was not as attached as she was. She was dating someone, but then we got together. She wasn't married. I wasn't married. There's a difference.
There is a difference.
But you
marriage
know,
makes it different.
Yeah, but we realized, you know, our friendship was probably more than just that, and threw caution to the wind, and years later, here we are.
Exactly. It worked out for you.
It did. It worked out for me.
So now I feel like she's answering her own question, because when she says she thinks about her future, it's with her friend and not her husband. That's very telling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes marriages aren't meant to work out, but I think we decide that and move on from that before we decide to move on with our friend, if you're going to do that.
See, I would have thought that you would have said, no, this is something that, you know, you owe it to your husband to stick it to, or you stick it to.
To stick with him.
Stick with him. Yeah, exactly.
Right. I think she needs to do some deep soul searching, maybe mm-hmm. do some counseling, maybe even counseling with her husband to see if she is fully on that direction to where I am done with the marriage.
Yeah.
And my path is with my friend, or if she's just caught up with the idea
right.
of, you know, a relationship with her friend that's just kind of a distraction right now. She needs to really fully figure out, are you completely done with your husband and that marriage?
Yeah, because if you continue down the path you are, it's going to wind up in actual physical infidelity. Because
exactly. And you don't want to do that.
The situation is set up too perfectly for that. With, you know, your best friend saying, let's just do this.
No, I mean, you got to close some doors
yeah,
first.
Yeah. If there's anyone listening who took a chance on a friend
by leaving their spouse or current relationship and it worked out, could chime in, maybe give an example of how their situation went to help Melissa.
Yeah, I mean, she does have the assurance of knowing that her friend feels the same way. So mm-hmm. it's not a gamble of, well, I'm just going to break up with my husband and hope that he feels the same way. She knows he feels the same way.
Right.
But, you know, you need to really further investigate that. Yeah. Like, listen, I'm thinking of ending my marriage for you. And that's fully where she is. She needs to be completely honest with herself, with her husband, and close that chapter.
Okay.
He deserves more. Her husband deserves to be loved the way that a wife is supposed to love her husband.
795-1997. 795-1997. In the middle of group therapy, Melissa has been best friends with a guy for a long time. She loves him. He loves her. It's perfect. Except Melissa is married to another man and her best friend is with someone too. Now, they've never acted on this physically, but she's wondering what to do or how to go about doing it with these feelings.
Many people chiming in on Facebook. April said, I need more details. How long have you been married? Mm. How long has this guy been your best friend? You say you love your husband, but are you in love with him? There's a difference. What you're doing is wrong, and you need to figure out what you want. If you don't want to be with your husband, respect him enough to let him go so we can find someone to love him the way he deserves. Ginger says option one is to figure out exactly what you want and then be honest with everyone. If you go this route, though, you got to be willing to face a very likely possibility you might end up alone. If your best friend is with someone else and suggested you hook up, you should understand down the line he might do the same to you.
That is a good point. We did get a message from a listener via text who said, my husband and I were best friends for years before getting married. Both had relationships fall apart because of it. If this is something she truly feels is right, she needs to both examine her marriage and her friendship. Mm.
Yeah. And Stephanie said, I've got a guy, best friend. He's married. I'm engaged. We are also in love with each other.
Mm.
We've actually had to let each other go again and put our friendship aside for now because of our feelings for each other, since we're with other people. It's one of the hardest things I've had to do, but it's been 26 days since he and I have talked.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And he's been married for a long time as well. She said, we became good friends first and realized we had feelings for each other and fell in love.
So that's pretty fresh still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so tough.
Hananiah.
The grass is not greener on the other side. It may seem like it because she's probably looking at it with rose-colored glasses because she's so distracted by her feelings for her best friend. But if she waters where she's at, it'll be green. It'll be gray.
Do you almost suggest, because I don't want to put words in your mouth, that she needs to maybe almost break up with her best friend?
She does. She needs to put some space in between her. There needs to be a fine line between a friendship and, like she said, her friend said, hey, let's just do this. Mm. You can't throw caution to the wind with something like this. You can't play with people's feelings.
That's true. I mean, so you're thinking if she just chooses to reinvest in her marriage and try to rediscover why she married him in the first place, that she'll realize that that is her true future and that her friend is not?
Oh, most definitely. I've been on both ends of the spectrum, so I know exactly how she feels and how her friend feels. And I've also been the spouse that has been cheated on emotionally.
That's a tough spot to be in. Hannah and I, thank you so much.
I mean, that's what we needed. We needed people who had been there before.
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
This is tough. I mean, I think the biggest thing is she needs to really dig deep and figure out how permanent are the feelings she's having with the best friend and how permanent are his feelings for her. And then are you truly sure that you are ready to cut ties with your husband?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, only she can make that decision who she sees her future with. She says right now it's with her friend, but she's got to really fully, you know, go down all the possibilities of what's about to happen if she's about to get really honest. And she's got to get honest. She can't just keep continuing on like this.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of people that are like, look, reinvest. Put that effort that you're putting into your best friend into your husband. Others that are just like, hey, grass is not greener on the other side of the
Yeah,
fence.
You know what? I think if she does, like, try to reinvest in her marriage, at least if it doesn't work out, mm-hmm. that she'll know she put everything she had into it and she can walk away, you know, feeling okay with that. If she just kind of cuts and run without really fully digging deep, she may have some big regrets.
And we're a show of hashtag no ragrets.
Exactly. So. That's what we don't want. Yeah.
All right.
For sure.
Well, hey, Melissa, I think there's a lot of things to think about. Listen to your heart and make the right decision.
Ooh, one more text. Put effort in becoming your husband's best friend.
Yep.
Yeah. Not just, you know, invest in trying to fall back in love with your husband, but be his best friend and just see how that works out. Just reinvest in that situation before you fully let go.
Yeah. Almost start having an affair with your husband.
Yeah.
I know that sounds silly to say.
It does.
But maybe start sneaking around with your husband. If you're liking the excitement of this, then maybe start putting some excitement into your own marriage. And I think what Hananiah kind of said earlier, you got to draw a line with your best friend because that is fire. And you guys, you know, I mean, if you want to go that route, that's great. But you need to end things with your husband first.
Yeah, it's a really good point in the fact that you have to examine, okay, what's at the root of the attraction with the best friend?
Yep.
Is it sneaky and that's exciting? Or is that like true, deep, real, lasting love?
Yeah. I mean, there have been movies made about your situation for sure because
absolutely
everybody has those sorts of feelings. So anyways, hey, good luck. And Melissa, keep us posted, okay? Playing a fun little game called Little Kid or Drunk Adult. And let's introduce you to our friend Chrissy calling us from Highview. Hi, Chrissy.
Hello.
So Chrissy has a unique name. It's Ribless Chrissy to us. We'll get to that here in just a sec. Chrissy has brown hair, drives a red minivan, processes Medicare complaints, is in an It's Complicated relationship, and it's her son Jaden's 12th birthday today.
What a fun fact.
So the fun fact is Chrissy has shown us a piece of her body.
In a jar.
In a jar. Chrissy, will you explain how you got the nickname Ribless Chrissy? Because I think you can tell it better than we can.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like 6 years ago, I had my first rib removed because of thoracic outlet syndrome.
Okay.
Okay. Wow. And then they said, hey, do
Becca
you want it?
Put it on Twitter on Throwback Thursday.
That's what I
mean. And
yeah, she gave you a dedication request. Yeah.
And ran with it.
Yeah. 100%.
And you've been Ribless Chrissy ever since.
Yes, I have.
I mean, you own it. You know, that's what I love about it is that you own it, you wear it well.
I love it. All right.
Home decor out of it.
Home day. Do you have it displayed?
No.
Oh. I was like, wow, that would be a fun little like mantelpiece.
I just feel honored
topic of
that
conversation.
You took the time to come to the radio station and show it to us in person.
I know.
I really appreciate that.
Yes, that was cool.
We share a special bond because of that.
I love it. All right. Well, Chrissy, Kelly's going to explain how it works.
Yeah, so you're going to hear three stories, and you have to figure out in each story, did it occur when the person was a little kid or a drunk adult?
All right, you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, here we go.
I had to go to the hospital because I tripped while opening up a Capri Sun.
Oh.
Now, I feel like the obvious answer in this one is little kid because they're the ones that drink Capri Suns normally.
I mean, you were sucking down a Capri Sun.
I was.
You didn't suck hard enough because you didn't get the record.
I did not. I was trying to break a world record. Okay. What do you think?
I'm going to say drunk adult.
Okay. Yes. Like go the opposite of the obvious answer. I think I'm gonna go down that road with you.
Kelly, you're saying drunk adult as well?
Yeah.
All right.
I was a drunk adult.
Yes! Yeah.
Drunk adult is it. I wonder if she was trying to break the Guinness Book of World Record for quickest sucking of a Capri Sun
Yes. Maybe.
I was trying to open my Capri Sun, you know, hydrating after a heavy night of drinking.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not sure if you've ever tried to open one of these things, but they're so difficult to get into. And when I went to puncture the straw into the Capri Sun, I ended up tripping on my kitchen rug. I fell into a really expensive glass table. I ended up in the hospital with 11 stitches on my right hand.
Wow.
So maybe we don't walk and try to poke at the same time.
Sometimes I try to walk and poke at the same time.
Oh, God. Really?
Am I right, Chrissy? Come on now. Am I right?
I should plan my words better.
Let's get my wife on the phone.
Stop!
Sometimes we play a fun little game. Walk and poke.
Stop it!
Walk the walk.
Stop it! With a Capri Sun. We're talking about a Capri Sun. It's a Capri Sun.
Walk and poke.
This game goes sideways so often, mostly because of my choice of words.
Chrissy, what should I text my wife right now?
Stop it! Stop! Stop!
All right.
Stop.
Next one, little kid, drunk adult.
I fell down an escalator, knocking a bunch of people over.
Oh, owie. Owie.
Ooh.
Okay.
I'm going to say little kid, because when I was a little kid, I was always playing on the escalator.
Yeah, and they can sometimes be difficult to navigate.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I'll say little kid, too.
All right, both of you saying little kid. Yeah. All right.
I was actually a little kid.
Okay, yeah. All right.
Yep, you
okay.
Got it. Little kid. Little kid is it.
My shoelace came untied.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh,
that
no.
is a nightmare.
Oh, that could be dangerous.
And I tripped, and I kind of, like, barreled halfway down the escalator, knocking a bunch of old people over.
Oh, no.
Oh,
no.
Could have been disastrous.
So far, Ribless Chrissy, you are perfect. Two for two. Let's see if you can get 100% here. Last one, little kid, drunk adult.
I torched my left eyebrow off.
Oh, owie.
I torched my left eyebrow off?
Which is tragic because men typically don't have eyebrow pencils to draw them back on. What do we think?
I'm definitely going to go with drunk adult.
Yeah.
Drunk adult.
Drunk adult. Drunk yes.
Adult. Drunk adult.
And I need to hear why.
I was a drunk adult.
Yeah. Okay.
It was. Yep. Drunk
three
adult.
Three for three.
Three for three.
Chrissy.
Flawless. Slayed it.
It was actually like 2 months ago, I'd say.
Oh.
And I was doing a dab and just not paying much attention. And, when I turned on the torch, I had the wrong part facing my face, and Sticky turned it on, and within a few seconds, I just burned my eyebrow right off.
Oh, oh
he was facing him, and he turned it on? Oh, my God.
You only make that mistake once, right?
Yeah, you do. 100%.
All right.
Wow.
All right. Well, hey, Ribless Chrissy, thank you so much for being on the show with us today.
This is awesome.
Thank you.
Yes, and we've all learned a new phrase, the walk and poke. You can try it at home.
I really regret my life choices many times.
The walk and poke.
I don't know how your wife puts up with you.
Here, what should I text her? Should I text her?
No,
something?
No,
because she's going to hear
no,
about this.
No, you shouldn't text her anything. Like, remind me to tell you about the walk and poke.
Hey, want to try the walk and poke?
No!
Tell her it's a new sport.
It's a new sport! Yes! Got to stretch first. All right. Chrissy, you win. Congrats. Hang on the line a quick sec, okay?
All right, thank you.
All right, hang on.
Oh, boy.
Oh,
it's at this time where I like to apologize for not
come on
more carefully choosing my words.
Okay.
During the course of this program.
She's actually calling me right now.
Oh, my God.
Wait,
answer it.
Hang on, should I answer it?
Answer it. Answer it on speaker.
Okay, I'm going to put you on speaker. Hang on. Do you want to try the walk and poke? Oh, okay. All right. Sorry. We're on the air right now. Hang on. You have no idea what we're talking about. We were literally talking about you. Your ears were burning.
Perfectly timed.
No, right?
Perfectly
Hang on
timed.
A second. Hang on.
I'm
right?
sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Should I explain it to her?
You probably should.
Do you want to hear about...
In front of us all. Do you want to hear... friends.
Do you want to hear about the walk and poke?
Well, it sounds like something we probably already do anyway.
All right. And with that, I'm going to put you on hold real quick. Put you on hold real quick. She's a delight. You see why I married her, don't you?
I'm out.
You see
I'm
why,
out.
You see why I married
I'm
her,
out.
Don't you?
I'm
All right,
out.
There you go. That is, I don't even know what game we were playing anymore.
We're apparently playing the walk and poke.
Walk and poke. 99.7 TJX. There's this TikTok that has been going kind of viral. Her name's Sarah. She just asks a question. She was born in 1997.
Okay, this is a genuine question to, like, older people. What did you do before you could look something up? Like, if you saw someone and you were like, oh, they remind me of that actor. What was that? What's his name? Like, and none of your friends knew, would you go to a library? Like, and like, okay, without Google Maps, like, I know that there was MapQuest, but before that, like, genuinely, what would you do? Would you just accept not knowing? Like, I would, please stitch this and tell me, because I genuinely do not understand how I would survive.
I mean, this is so real. It's such a real, honest question.
You know what? To be honest, I don't remember.
So I just had this conversation with my daughters. Like, listen, before you could just Google map this, you had to actually have a paper map, because when we had turned in our old car, the Jetta, when they got rid of the Jetta, it had a paper map, like one of those folded paper maps still in the glove compartment that I had when I bought the car back in 1999.
And I had one for Indiana and Kentucky in my car for the longest time.
Right. You'd open it up, you'd look at the map, you go, okay, I'm wanting to be here.
Uh-huh.
And I'm here now, so where do I go? And so that's when you had the person, your co-pilot, the person sitting shotgun, they'd pull out the map and like be looking at it while you're driving going, okay, you got to turn here. And it was so unpredictable because you didn't know if there was road construction. You didn't know if there was an accident. You didn't know anything.
Didn't tell you traffic. Yep. Nope.
No.
All that.
No, but some of the comments on this were fantastic. Like Javier said, the name of the actor would just come to you 3 weeks later while you were eating a bowl of cereal.
Yep. Yep. And then you have to call them on the phone and tell them about it. Yes.
Or you just have to file it away for the next time you saw them and were just like, okay. Heather said, well, sometimes we just wondered about things. And then Jenna was like, this is why being good at 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon was such a flex.
Fun fact, that game got me my first job here in Louisville.
There you go.
I mean, I put that on my resume because I used to play that at the first radio show I ever did. It was like 1920 in Lafayette, Indiana. And that is what got the attention of the program director that got me hired.
I remember
at 102.3 when it was Mixed 102 back in the day.
There you go. I remember going into record stores. So, you know, you remember like Ear Ecstasy used to be a thing here.
Sure, yeah.
And you know, there was FYE in the malls and stuff like that. There were like record stores where you'd go, you'd buy music in an actual place, physical music. And so I would go in there and I would have no idea what the name of the song was because we didn't have like things on the radio or things on our phone that could just tell you what the name of the song was. And if the DJ at the time on the radio never said what the song was, you'd be sitting there going,
Dang it, why don't they ever say it?
And so I would walk into the record store and I'd be like, hey, so I'm looking for a song and it kind of goes,
and the record store employees needed to be on their game.
They were shameless times.
Yeah.
Absolute shameless times.
And, oh, wow.
And it's funny because then Greg is like, hey, this is why Gen X is still finding out the wrong lyrics we're singing for 30 years.
But what a fun simple.
But I love the fact that she referenced MapQuest in her whole thing. She was like, like before Google Maps, I know you had MapQuest. Yeah, which of course MapQuest was a thing where you actually had to get on, and that was like the early stages of like this Google Maps.
Yes, but you had to find it and print it out first before you left. Yes. 100%.
Davey said, you know how you seem puzzled by this question? Yeah, that's the same feeling that we just sat with. another comment. Your aunt just said something that was fact, and you just believed it until you found out otherwise. Hey, did you know that the banana spider is a better cure for ED than Viagra?
And you'd be stop with that fact. Stop. Listen, we're finding out on the internet, and we're still believing it without researching it.
Wow. And then you'd go and you'd say it to someone else who actually knew. You'd be like, hey, did you know? And they'd be like, where'd you hear that? You're like, no. That's not
Aunt
true.
Aunt Becky, she knows everything.
Oh, shoot. So
now the internet is Aunt Becky, and she knows everything.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, so how did you even survive before you could just get on your phone and look it up?
You know what? I was thinking about that the other day. I don't remember how did I do life before all of this. I rely on it so much now. Like, how in the world did I survive? Like and this is dating me, but when I was in college, my first phone was a Motorola gray flip phone, $5 a month, emergency use only.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I know. I mean, there was a time when you bought internet by the minute and you get like 20 minutes of internet a month. And you're like, ah, I got the good plan. I got 50 minutes of internet a month. You're like, what, are your parents rich? Yep.
The good old days.
I know. And or when you not call someone because their number had a bunch of nines and zeros in it. And you're like, yeah, I'm not wasting my time calling your number because you had the rotary phones and it would take forever to dial their phone number. But if their phone number was like a 222-110, 1133, you'd be like, yeah, let's roll. And
listen, I loved the rotary phones because it was just like a little Ferris wheel for your fingers.
Okay.
And I was kind of, so I liked the nines and it was like, whee! I like that. That was fun.
So there you go, Sarah. We'll tweet out Sarah's TikTok because it's so hysterical and so relatable and just so innocent where, how did you do it before everything was in our hands?
My gosh. Colleen was like, a friend of mine who came down to visit us from Chicago told her freshman and college daughter about MapQuest. Needless to say, blew her mind. And she said, I remember in the 80s, if you had a question like that, you'd call phone a friend. Yeah. I remember many a weekend, the family phone ringing and it being my aunt asking those types of questions.
I love it. All right. At Ben and Kelly Show. Now, my daughter's decided to room with each other in college, at least for their first year. So they knew who they were getting when it came to roommates. However, it doesn't necessarily have to be college for you to experience an interesting roommate. You know, there's Craigslist. There's just, finding someone who just needs a place to stay. I mean, like I had another roommate in college who I never saw. He was kind of our basement dweller.
As long as he helps pay the bills.
He paid rent every month. He paid his share, but like we barely ever saw him. We'd see him come up out of the basement and leave and then go back in and go back down the basement. And it wasn't until he moved out that we actually, like, I don't even know if I ever went down the basement to see his dwelling.
That's interesting.
Yeah, right? I know.
Well, so, one of the common things is they would put pieces of paper with the little numbers that you can tear off at the bottom, like in common areas on college campuses. And that's kind of how I found one of my roommate situations. I had two other roommates. One of them was kind of like, she worked overnight at a gas station. So we never saw her. She slept during the day. And it was kind of like a weird situation like that. The other one had had this boyfriend. They're the ones that met my parents in their underwear, if that was fun.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So some of the best roommate stories. One guy had a male roommate who rarely did laundry, would borrow his underwear, usually for dates. He would tell him that was not cool, but the guy kept doing it anyway.
You were kidding. Guys stealing and using underwear?
We've had listeners like that on the air with us before.
That's insane. Don't do that. Don't do that.
Another person taught their female roommate how to boil water.
Well, if they didn't know, how else they can learn?
That's right. Said she hadn't made anything before. I like nothing outside of sandwiches and salads. So
now listen, my parents gave me like a crash course in basic cooking. I mean, every parent needs to make sure that your child can make basic food items for themselves. Otherwise, they will not survive in today's world.
You mean how to boil water?
Yeah, maybe.
One person had a roommate that would sleepwalk almost every night. Wasn't just walking either. The roommate would clean the fridge, put snacks away, quote Shakespeare,
what?
Which could either be funny or really creepy.
While she was sleeping?
Yeah.
So bizarre. Oh, that would creep me out.
Yeah, for sure.
I wouldn't know what's happening. As long as she's not throwing away your snacks.
Right, right.
If she's a good cleaner when she's asleep, then let her keep doing it.
Let her keep doing it, right?
Yeah.
I want to get to this next one. It has very, very Godfather-like themes to it.
Oh, wow. Sounds aggressive.
97DJX. You know, if you've spent any time living with roommates, you probably have a few stories to tell. Most interesting roommate stories we were talking about. One person had a roommate who was obsessed with CSI. You know the CSI show?
Oh, yeah?
Have CSI pillow, sheets, blankets.
Oh, she had merch and decor. I didn't know that that show had that.
Refused to turn on any lights, kept all the blinds shut. Also was paranoid of having her identity stolen by, quote, them. So
maybe she should have stepped back from that show just a little bit.
There's a point where you need to be like, you know what? Let me just dial it back just a scotch.
Maybe a little.
Yeah. One person had a roommate who would freak out anytime someone used the microwave to the point where he actually stole it from the kitchen.
Listen, that is how I survived. Nay, that's how I continue to survive.
That's Kelly, if we took your microwave away from your kitchen now, what would you do?
We would eat most of the week.
That's funny. And then this one's pretty good. Someone had a roommate who stole their bread.
Really?
And when questioned about it, suggested it might be a ghost.
I don't know. Have you guys considered that there's an apparition that loves sandwiches?
Yeah, she even drew it out and said that she felt like some of her stuff was missing, too.
Oh, wow. Gotcha. So she's just making her sandwiches in her room. Got it.
Then this one. My roommate in college claimed he was involved with the mafia.
Okay. How so?
He was constantly sweaty.
Uh-huh.
Was very jumpy.
Mm-hmm.
And always had a lot of cash in his car.
Gotcha.
He never was around on the weekends, and I never saw him drink. Strangest of all is that he never once slept in his room.
Interesting.
He always slept on the couch by the door. And eventually, he told me that it was because if someone ever broke in looking for me, I want them to find me right away so no one else would get hurt.
Wow. He was trying to sacrifice himself. Dang.
Says, I still don't know if he was telling the truth, but nonetheless, I always locked my bedroom door at night.
That's probably smart.
But really, like, that's a total bro move. Am I right?
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. Like, thank you.
Like,
you probably owe him a thank you.
Right.
Thank you for sleeping on the couch to potentially save our lives if the mafia comes looking for you.
Right. If stuff hits the fan, like, he's the first one out.
Yep. Dang.
That's wild.
Wow.
Apparently, this test was used back in the day to test whether you had, quote, DJ potential.
Okay.
So I thought it might be kind of interesting to see how we would stand on this scale. And it's really just a test to see how well you can read clearly. So it's almost like a tongue twister in a sense.
Yeah.
And I have in the past failed these miserably.
Okay. So this could be just pointing the finger that we are in positions we are not qualified for at all. Got it.
So the challenge is to read this clearly out loud without any mistakes in less than 20 seconds. I have a 20-second timer.
Less than 20 seconds?
So it will I'll be able to see how well we do. Now, you've looked it over, right?
Yeah.
I've looked it over. So it's almost like we're
not sight reading like, seeing it before.
Yeah. It's not like we're taking a look at it for the very first time and having to do it. Now, I will say the first time I saw this, I did sight read it and I did it out loud. And so I
even practiced it out loud.
So I even practiced it out loud and I messed up. So,
okay. This will be my first time reading it out loud.
We'll see how it works. We've tweeted it, by the way, at Ben and Kelly Show. So if you want to see if you could literally stand in the same spot that I do and Kelly does every morning and do better at it than we do.
Okay.
All right.
Who's going first?
Well, I mean, I guess it should be me, right?
Yeah. I mean, you are the most practiced.
No, wait, are you saying... No,
I know. It's doubly as bad if you mess it up because you've read it out loud before.
So this is a DJ test.
Okay.
20 seconds on the clock without any mistakes, reading this clearly. Hang on, let me get some water.
Oh, okay. All right. That's good. Like, rinse the palate.
Yeah. Okay. Got to make sure that my mouth is not dry.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go.
Yeah.
20 seconds on the clock. I'm so nervous. All right. Here we go. I bought a bit of baking powder and baked a batch of biscuits. I brought a big basket of biscuits back to the bakery and baked a basket of big biscuits. Then I took the big basket of biscuits and the basket of big biscuits and mixed the big biscuits with the basket of biscuits that was next to the big basket and put a bunch of biscuits from the basket into a biscuit mixer and brought the basket. What? The time's up!
Oh my gosh!
And brought the basket of biscuits and the box of mixed biscuits and the biscuit mixer to the bakery and opened a tin and started... I can't do this!
Yeah, nope.
There's no way! There is no way!
No, just walk away from the microphone. You're not qualified.
There is no way!
First of all, what insane person wrote this? Because it's one, like, gigantic run-on... Like, the third sentence is a gigantic run-on sentence. That whole thing is just... That's three sentences! Three sentences.
There is no absolute way that you could do this in under 20 seconds. So, Kelly, you heard my pacing. You're going to have to step up the pacing in order to get it in 20 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
This is a... This was once used as a test for DJ potential.
I am convinced they didn't hire anybody. Because if this was the litmus test, no one can do this.
All right, so once again, the challenge, you heard me fail it. Read this clearly out loud without any mistakes in less than 20 seconds. Are you ready,
okay.
Kelly?
Yep.
Ready, set, go.
I bought a bit of baking powder and baked a batch of biscuits. I brought a big basket of biscuits back to the bakery and baked a basket of big biscuits. Then I took the big basket of biscuits and the basket of big biscuits and mixed the big biscuits with the basket of biscuits that was next to the big basket and put a bunch of biscuits from the basket in a biscuit mixer and brought the basket of biscuits and the box of mixed biscuits and the biscuit mixer to the bakery and opened a tin of sardines.
That's it. It's like when you start going fast and then all of a sudden the wagon wheels start falling off. You're like,
biscuits becomes difficult to say when you have to say it that often.
Okay, well, there you go.
A batch of biscuits.
If you have ever listened to this show and thought, you know what? Those idiots, I can do what they're doing.
Yeah, how did those knuckleheads get that job?
Apparently, we are not even qualified.
Nope.
To get this job. According to this... DJ potential test.
That is a really dumb test. That's a dumb test. No, it's dumb.
I mean, you could have given me 30 seconds and I still wouldn't have been able to do it right.
Yeah, I think 30 seconds I could have done it if I could slow down a smidge, but I felt like I had to hurry knowing how quickly you ran out of time.
I know. So, again, we've tweeted it out. If you want to test yourself, you can at Ben and Kelly Show. And
leave us videos. We want to see videos of you guys doing it. That'd be great.
No. Because if anybody gets it and does it right, I'm going to feel no.
Oh, you're right. Don't do that.
No, absolutely not. Don't send us a voice note of you getting it in under 20 seconds. Absolutely not.
Don't prove you're way better at this than us. It's going to make us feel bad.
My little ego can't handle such rejection.